All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 9 o'clock, hour number three coming up. Phone line's going to be open this hour. 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. You can also tweet in at Mac and Cube, be a part of the show that way. We always tell you each and every morning about Backyard Adventures and our friends there, right there on Cahaba Valley Road. They got all the playgrounds assembled so your kids can go play on them. They can jump, climb, swing, slide, all the different options. Decide which ones that they want. But listen, Jeff and the guys are going to come to your house. They're going to prep your yard. They're going to assemble it. And if there are any issues down the road, they're going to come take care of it afterwards because you're going to get a fantastic warranty to back up great quality equipment. We were outside with the kids for a while yesterday before we went to the soccer game, playing on the playground. All three of my kids absolutely love it. And if the weather allows, they're going to be out there at some point in time playing on the playground in our backyard from Backyard Adventures. Find them at BackyardAlabama.com or call 408 the number 4FUN. Not just playgrounds, though, GMAC, that Backyard Adventures can help you with.
Yeah, you might not be able to accommodate a playground. Your backyard might not be big enough. Ours isn't. Your backyard might be too sloped. Ours is. Therefore, we can't accommodate a playground. So talk to Jeff and the guys. Say, hey, what do you recommend? They say, well, why don't you try out one of these basketball goals? We put it in. It's been a huge hit. Everyone that's come to the house spent time outside shooting hoops. We've spent time together as a family outside shooting hoops. It was a great way to spend some of our summer months out there just having a great time together outside, away from the television screens, away from the iPads, away from the video games. We spent time together outside, and that's ultimately the goal when you shop with Backyard Adventure. So go on Cahaba Valley Road, or you can go online at BackyardAlabama.com.
All right, so situation that we lightly touched on in the first segment of the show.
Out of the toughness he showed in the third and fourth quarter.
At Missouri, that's Eli Drinkwitz. You'll hear from him in just a moment. Luther Burden pulled the old, I'm tired of hearing this, but we're going to talk about it because I guess it's a real thing now. Had a production call in this game yesterday, and it came up. And so, like, what are we going to do? We're going to have a graphic in the game about how the kids scrubbed to social media? Like, what point does this have on anything? But apparently Luther Burden deletes all his photographs. Does that mean you're mad now? Like, that's like the bat signal for
I'm
pissed.
Show you.
Yeah, that's what they do.
That's the individual college football player bat signal or NFL player bat signal for
I'm not
my feelings are hurt.
This team
pretty
anymore.
Pretty much.
You don't tag the team in your posts, so you delete them.
Yeah.
So Luther Burden, star receiver. Greg saw him in the spring game. Everybody knows about how good he is. A lot of potential. Spring. I think he has like 3 targets in the last 2 games.
Yeah.
So this is now then he posted apparently last night. Now he's all in. Again, I don't know if his picture's resurfaced.
Check cleared.
Did he put an emoji tiger next to his name in his bio again? I don't know.
Like,
did he put a black and yellow circle next to one another in his bio? I have
no idea. Black and yellow, black and yellow, like, black
happening?
And yellow, black and yellow.
Are we on good terms or not? This is Eli Drinkwitz on his star freshman receiver.
Really proud of the toughness he showed in the third and fourth quarter, trying to give it a go and doing what he could for our team. In fact, he was not supposed to do anything but fair catch the punts, but in that fourth quarter, trying to provide a spark, decided to return that one. But our priority is getting him healthy and doing the very best we can for him. So look forward to working with him all week to try to get him back.
He needs to be a part. He can be dynamic. We've seen some flashes of it this year. GMAC, not a ton. 10 catches, 78 yards. Does have a touchdown. Now they force fed him the ball from a rushing perspective. 7 carries for 40 yards, a touchdown a few times. He's helped in the return game a little bit. You heard Eli talk about it there. 5 for 114 as far as punt returns go. Does have a punt return touchdown. But just quickly, did he go against coaching on the last one?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was so tough to withstand that injury that he was stretching out that nobody really knows what it is, or nor could they point to a moment in the game in which it happened. So, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he was just trying to provide a spark.
Did he get one?
Spark.
That spark.
Hashtag spark lit.
That's
Tiger
it.
Love.
That's
the
it.
Zoo.
The zoo.
Zoo made.
But he's the guy that needs to be a big part of what they're doing. And if healthy, needs to be implemented a little bit more in the offense, obviously, than he has
been
thus far.
Let Lovett keep ripping. See what happens. Lovett keeps ripping.
That's it.
You're going to see some trouble in paradise if you consider Columbia, Missouri paradise.
All right, before we move on, Mark and Pelham brought up a good point. 17 points on this game, Alabama-Arkansas.
Steak.
Too much for you, Damian?
Yes.
All right, well, I mean, obviously games we're marinating on presented by Dales will come up tomorrow on the show, but that could be one that one of us chooses. Are you feeling that's too many points right away out of the gate, G-Mac?
Yes.
Okay, we'll hit that one a little bit more tomorrow from that perspective.
That would be my lean at the moment.
Don't go that far into that one just yet. All right, so you want to get into the show, 800-239-9569. You can be a part. Undefeated teams that will face off this weekend. SEC, five undefeated teams left. Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, obviously all undefeated. ACC, Clemson, Florida State, Syracuse, NC State, undefeated. Big 12, you got Kansas, Oklahoma State, and TCU. Pac-12, USC, UCLA, Washington. And in the Sun Belt, Coastal Carolina, James Madison, the Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Minnesota, all undefeated. So we get a couple of undefeated matchups coming up this weekend. Kentucky Ole Miss will be one of those. This game has a lot of intrigue for me for a lot of different reasons. I think when you just look at, one, let's just be real, who they've played. And yeah, Florida has some talent. Florida might be a decent team, but I thought Florida played well enough to win that game. Just some of the things went Kentucky's way. They made some plays late, found a way to get the W down in Gainesville. But there are still a lot of parts about these two teams, G-Mac, that I don't feel like we know what they are, specifically Ole Miss on defense. Ole Miss offensive line took a step back last week against Tulsa. Didn't play great. Still, I mean, running the ball, not a big problem. It shows you that they can do it in different ways. Jackson Dart gets going on the ground with Zach Evans not available. Then you look at that Kentucky offense, one in which they have a little bit of a tackle issue right now. They're not running the ball well. I mean, one thing that we've known under Coach Stoops is they are going to be able to play ground and pound. That is going to be a big part of who they are and what they are. The Kentucky Wildcats currently sit 13th in the SEC in rushing. There are 14 teams in the league at last look.
Correct.
They are last in rushing touchdowns in the league.
It's crazy when you think about it. But, hey, it's all going to be rectified this week when Chris Rodriguez returns. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah. Change everything.
You don't need an offensive line.
Just we know you believe that, but yeah.
Not everybody. Well,
actually, that might make air this weekend if you guys are watching the Auburn game, and we're doing it. there's only one running back ever that could literally run without an offensive line, and that was Barry Sanders. No other back is capable of doing that.
I think Ricky Williams.
He was sweet, but and dude, you don't need me to. You know I love Ricky Williams.
Herschel Bowe.
He ain't.
Yeah, Bowe. Yeah.
Stop it.
They kind of didn't because most of the plays of the highlights I've seen of those two were toss sweeps.
they literally just ran outside.
Right.
How hard is that? Running against a bunch of stiffs in the 80s.
81.5 yards per game on the ground for Kentucky. 3 rushing touchdowns through 4 games for Kentucky. Both these teams 4-0. Can that be?
Whose defense do you like better? Because I like Kentucky's defense better.
I think I like Kentucky's defense better. Yeah.
Who do you think can hold up against the run better? Because I don't know that much about Ole Miss's.
Man, that's such a different. It's a
I really don't know.
Question because the two run games are so different.
I just don't know.
The Ole Miss rushing attack is based on space, tempo, visual deception. And then they have a pretty good offensive line, and they have some good backs, some really good backs. So the Kentucky rushing attack, or at least the attempt of what it's supposed to be, is more so north and south, right at you. You know, can we move you against your will? Things of that nature. Now, there are some things that they've implemented that try to help it out in other ways, but that's the majority of it. So I think right now, because Kentucky's not as good up front, I would say that Kentucky's rushing attack would be one that's easier to slow down. But then when you ask it the way you did, you're obviously bringing specifically two defenses into the mix. I love Kentucky's linebackers. I think they're fine in the third level. The defensive line, I'm still a little bit wait and see. They got some younger players that are helping out, that are doing some nice things. But I would probably say Kentucky better equipped to stop the run based on what I've seen and based on who they've played. Yeah. But still, Florida had success, and it wasn't just Anthony Richardson going crazy. I mean, they lined up and ran the ball.
Not consistently, though. I mean, over the course of a 4-quarter game, they did not consistently run the ball very well. They had a couple drives where they got it going, But it was not really, you know, oh, I could really depend on gaining five here every time they handed it off. So I'm really not sure. I think this game is really interesting. I would lean Kentucky. I like Kentucky's quarterback better. I like Kentucky's wideouts better. I like Ole Miss's scheme better. I'm having a very difficult time with this one because I keep going back and forth. If it was played in Lexington, I would lean heavily in favor of Kentucky. But the fact that it's going to be in Oxford, I think, makes it much closer. I still lean just ever so slightly towards Kentucky, but man, I don't have a lot of conviction in my lean right now at all.
All right, so I'll take you a little bit further with exactly what we're getting from Kentucky in this game. And some folks can look at the numbers from Will Levis, and you look at yards, you look at touchdowns, and you say, man, things have been great. I mean, the guy is now being mentioned with the Heisman Trophy, which I caution everyone to say that it's September when people are handing out the Heisman. Last week that happened after a game in Knoxville.
Who got a
yes, sir.
Oh, Hendon.
It was his. It's his. It's September,
pretty much is.
By the way. September. It's very early.
Yeah, they got to win 10 games first.
September. So Will Levis, 68% on the year, 1,185 yards, 10 touchdown passes to just 4 interceptions. In 17 career games at Kentucky, Will Levis only has 4 without an interception.
Without
an interception thrown. So he has a tendency to give it back to the other team. And even this year, he has made some decisions that there's not an excuse for in giving it back to the other team. The other part of that is this Kentucky team will allow their quarterback to be sacked. It's something that has happened on a regular basis and something that I don't know if there's going to be an easy fix for. It's surprising, GMAC, because he's got pretty good mobility. So Colorado State quarterback Clay Millen, if you're looking for a negative stat, just go to Colorado State. They're probably going to have it. He's taken 25 sacks this year. That's the most in college football.
Dang.
Next would be Will Levis with 15. So Will Levis individually has been sacked. There's only one quarterback in college football that's been sacked more than he has. So
it's not like they've played. I mean, let's keep things in perspective here. It's not like they've played, you know, all out war on the front defensive line either. I mean, NIU, Miami, Ohio,
Youngstown State,
Youngstown, and Florida. And Florida's pretty good, but I don't think Florida's the greatest pass rushing team. They're not the
Florida got to them once.
They're not the 09 Gators, you know. I mean, so I guess I wonder too. Maybe they don't play well against the slightly smaller, maybe a little twitchier, undersized defensive linemen that they faced the last few weeks in the MAC. I don't know. All I know is that it hasn't been good as far as protection is concerned. And some of them come on Levis too. I mean, he is far from being excluded. He holds it a little too long from time to time, and I think occasionally, you know, fights a little too long to try to stay upright. So he is not without blame for sure when it comes to some of the sack numbers.
No, absolutely. And it's more times than not, it's collective, and people are going to see a number and just say, oh, the offensive line's terrible. But it's on a lot of different people. It can be on the backs, the tight ends, and then some can be on the quarterback as well. But can Ole Miss take advantage of that? Can that be an area where they become very problematic for this Kentucky team? Florida got to them 3 times. Sorry, 3 sacks against Kentucky. So you had that game. You've seen how they operate. Is there a part of that that's a positive for Will Levis, that he's not taking risks, he's not taking chances? You know, some of the Kentucky coaches coming out this week saying that's something that they appreciate about his game. He's tough. He's not afraid to take a sack. You have the capability to throw the ball away, though. So, occasionally you look at a guy like just eat it there, live, fight for another play. That's fine, but it's hard for me to justify sacks as being a positive thing for your offense.
Well, I think some of it with Levis, though, like, I don't think it's taking sacks is fine. Okay. It's fine if you have a great defense, and it's fine if every drive that ends in a kick is considered a successful drive. And that, you know, that's how some people have approached it. Like, I took a lot of sacks, but that was because it was one of those situations. They're like, dude,
Kirby just said last week, a punt's a turnover.
What?
That's
after the game press conference.
A punt's a turnover.
A turnover. giving the ball back.
I suppose.
In theory, okay. He a national champion, so I ain't gonna.
I had never heard that before.
Me either.
Seems a bit harsh.
Yeah, but you know,
when your team has six turnovers a game, I don't know. It seems a bit harsh, but I think that when you look at
there are a lot of turnovers in that Auburn Missouri game.
Yeah, but say,
oh my goodness.
Let's keep a clean sheet today, boys. But we're gonna have 8 turnovers. By the way, the punt. No, I think taking the sack's okay, but it's understanding you cannot. You're also not an offense that's really built to play and convert on long yardage situations. Like, you're a team that really needs to stay on schedule. And hey, an incompletion, you're still off schedule, right? But it's a lot easier to convert on 2nd and 10 than it is 2nd and 16. So that's something that probably needs to be taken into account a little bit with, you know, how long he's willing to hold on and how long he's willing to go before he says uncle.
All right, so Ole Miss, 2nd in the SEC in sacks this year. They have 13 sacks on the season. That's obviously going to be a big part of this game. Ole Miss has won 12 straight at home. Kentucky's won 8 straight overall. That's the 2nd best active streak in college football. So we'll see exactly where this thing goes. I'm with you. There are a lot of confusing points in this game, parts of this game that I'm just uncertain about, that I'm not really sure that I can put my finger on just yet. I think that's why it's going to be an intriguing matchup. I kind of hate the fact that it's early, because sometimes we get those early games where one side just kind of doesn't show up and it makes for more of a lopsided game. But a lot on the line for both these teams. It's a massive point for both these teams. You get a win where it could propel you 2 down the road. Could be huge. So we'll spend more time on it Thursday, Friday. Obviously get into it a little bit more. Try to prepare for it a little bit more here on the show. But when we come back, there are other undefeated teams that are going to be facing off this weekend. We're going to chop those down this weekend in college football. We'll discuss those next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 9:22 a.m. Wednesday, September 28th. Listen online, jocksfm.com.
Yeah, and you need to obviously have protection at your home, and that's why we trust our friends at Yellowhammer Roofing to protect our home and our loved ones. Whether it's a roof replacement or repair, Yellowhammer Roofing is our hometown professional team. They're locally owned and operated, and they work where they live. You're going to see them in and around the community. Tell them to say hello and have them out to your house for a free inspection and a free assessment. Licensed and insured, and they have that 5-year workmanship warranty as well, where they own your roof for the first 5 years. So go give them a call today at 855-217-8887, or you can go online at yellowhammerroofing.com.
All right, so before we move on from Ole Miss and Kentucky, Ole Miss currently 6.5-point favorite in that game. Mark Stoops just discussing what he sees from this Ole Miss football team coming up this weekend.
And then they're going to go with extremely high tempo. They are running the ball extremely effective. And when you can run the ball like that, obviously it creates explosive plays in the pass game. They haven't needed to rely on that as much in the first 4 games, but certainly they could do a lot of things and be as balanced as they want to be. But they have 2 tremendous tailbacks, really 3 or so, but two that will play against us that are playing at a very high level along with their quarterback. So put a lot of stress on us defensively. They are playing extremely hard. I think they have some very good players, somewhat unorthodox in some of their structure and the way they do things, and bring some pressure. So it will be something with us being susceptible to some pressure and some sacks this week. I'm sure we'll see a lot of exotic pressures and things of that nature. So we got to get that ironed out.
So obviously going to have to clean things up with that offensive line, and from a protection standpoint, with Will Levis obviously being sacked, only one quarterback in college football being sacked more than he has this season. So that's something that obviously not going to be able to continue for the Kentucky Wildcats. We have other teams that are going to be undefeated facing off against one another this weekend. NC State, GMAC, seems to have really sort of calmed down. The hype, the talk, the discussion, nothing against them as a team. It's just that was a team that was a very, I guess, popular pick for a lot of people to surprise folks, to maybe overachieve, to maybe be in contention to win the ACC. And it's not like they've done anything wrong. They sit at 4-0. Maybe a couple of games you could look at had not been as convincing as some people would have liked. You know, they play Texas Tech pretty tight. just sneak by East Carolina. But we talked about getting that game on the road and who was coming back for ECU. It was going to be a tough matchup. Charleston Southern and UConn, we're not going to learn much from those games. But kind of where are you on NC State right now heading into this gigantic matchup on the road against Clemson?
Well, I'm not sold on NC State because they haven't played anybody. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, they're kind of in the same category as Ole Miss. They're kind of in the same category as a Michigan was last week prior to playing against Maryland. I mean, there's just some teams you don't know about. It's not totally their fault, but you're not sure what to make of them. And I would say that that's kind of where NC State is at this point. So they might very well be pretty good. Wouldn't surprise me. But we've also seen them play pretty poorly at times this year as well. The ECU game comes to mind, even though they won that game, it was far from stellar and far from impressive. I think the Texas Tech win is one that might get better as the weeks go along, given the fact that Texas Tech has done some good things of late. But NC State's one of those teams where this is really our first opportunity to kind of introduce ourselves to them and think that they have a chance to be okay. I don't know if they're going to be as dangerous offensively as what Wake Forest was, but I also think defensively they will put up a little bit bigger tests than what Wake Forest was able to put up as well. So I don't like them on the road in this spot. I think they're going to need a little bit of an emotional hangover from Clemson to pull off the outright upset. If the game were in Raleigh, I might feel differently, but I don't love it this week for NC State.
Well, Clemson, obviously 36 consecutive home wins, which is just ridiculous when you think about how good they've been there at Tiger Stadium. This is a team that it feels like is growing a little bit. DJ Uiagalelei pushing the ball downfield a little bit more last week than we've seen in a very long time. He seems to be more confident. And if that's a part of the game, then obviously you can stretch things out from the tackle box with what NC State's going to provide up front. And NC State, let's just be real, they haven't been in this spot very much. This is the first time that these two teams will meet, both being ranked as AP top 10 teams. NC State playing a game as an AP top 10 team for the first time since 2002 and just the second since 1975. Clemson has been in this spot plenty of times. They understand exactly what it's like. They know the pressure. They've been there. So the familiarity of that, being at home, number one, being ranked in the top 10, number two, Clemson, you think, has a massive advantage mentally and emotionally being in that spot. We'll see. Will Shipley's been playing well. Feels like the offensive line is kind of about what we thought. But I think a lot comes down to DJ. Like you said, can the NC State front pressure him, force him into making bad decisions? We've seen that happen at times. But now that he's pushing the ball down the field a little bit more, that change has how you have to defend him and how you have to defend Clemson. Do you see NC State, though, trying to throttle back a little bit on offense? Because you said they're not going to be as explosive as Wake was. Does this become sort of a ball control game for Coach Doran? Is that the recipe to take in against Clemson on the road to be able to try and steal a win?
I would think that ball control is probably the best way, which is crazy that we're having this discussion. The other thing too is Clemson's defense is not enough being made of Clemson's defensive performance last week. We know that NC State is probably going to try to run the football, at least be a little balanced in that regard. Wake Forest, that's not really who they are. They will run it, but that's not really who they are against competition like they faced last week. They kind of had to find those one-on-ones and create those one-on-ones, and they did so, I thought, impressively throughout the course of the game. So, Cole, I mean, when you look at it, do you anticipate a pretty heavy rushing attack from NC State? Because right now, I'm not sure any of us know a whole lot of what to make with Clemson's defense, because while I felt good about them coming into the season, I might not feel as good about them today as I did just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they're kind of in that Georgia category of not racking up a lot of sacks, but you know they can affect the pocket. I think NC State's right there, too. NC State has 7, Clemson has 8. So neither has gotten the quarterback to the ground as much as a lot of other teams around them or how we view them. But I do know that Clemson's group can be disruptive up front. I know that. I know their linebackers are active. You know, third level, probably not as confident. So I just don't see NC State being able to control that Clemson defensive line. You would love to go in a game like this on the road. get the crowd quiet. If DJ is becoming more explosive, if he's becoming more successful down the field, you obviously want to limit those possessions. But I just don't think NC State can live there. I think you use a quarterback that understands how to run, manage an offense, get you into different protections, can utilize the quick game, you throw some screens, you try to get on the perimeter, make that D-line run a little bit. To me, and then if you get your shot plays, you take them, because if that's where Clemson can be had, you have to at least attempt to attack it. You're not going to be able to hold up for long, but you have to at least go at it. So I think it sounds great in theory to go into this game, say, we want to control the clock, we want to control possessions, we want to minimize the crowd. I just don't know if you can live there against this defensive line. And it's that simple to me. And I don't think NC State can either. Offensive line pretty good, but this is an elite defensive front. And I just don't think you go into this game and say, oh, yeah, we're going to play ground and pound, try to keep the ball for 40 minutes, and then all of a sudden look at final possession, who's going to be able to kick a field goal and get out of there with a win. I don't think NC State can play that game. I think they have to be there may be some more play action. It may be things of that nature, but I just don't think NC State can go into this game and not be aggressive offensively.
I think you have to at least challenge, because look, what was the question mark for Clemson coming into the season? It was the corners. It was the secondary. I think you have to at least challenge them. And hey, look, if you look at the throws Sam Hartman made last week, man, I mean, the coverage was pretty good. I mean, you can tell me all you want about, well, they gave up this many yards, they gave up this many touchdowns through the air, all this other stuff, great. But if you actually look at the coverage, I mean, he was having to throw major accurate throws down the field. I mean, like back shoulders to tight ends over the middle. Like those aren't easy to replicate for a lot of these other quarterbacks. So was Clemson's defense, were they susceptible through the air, or did they just get beat by a ridiculously precise quarterback on that given day? That's what I want to figure out this week. And Devin Leary, by the way, has not played well this year.
Why do you think that is?
Pressing, first and foremost. Two, hasn't had to, because they've been kind of in cruise control with the exception of week one, but he has not at any point. And I've watched two of their games now, and we've watched the tape back of two of their games, and he just has not looked comfortable. I mean, just the accuracy is just the littlest bit off. I don't think the receivers are great either, I might add. I think that's a group that,
yeah,
probably can take another step. I just don't love their weapons. I mean, I don't know why. I thought that NC State this year coming into the season, I felt pretty good about what they had. And I don't love where they're at offensively right now at all.
That's not where you want to be against this group, because Clemson's got explosive players across the board offensively that can be problematic. And going back to, you know, some of the rushing game and who maybe wants to try to lean on it, can get it going. Clemson, the number one rush defense in the ACC, they give up less than 80 yards per game. They've given up one rushing touchdown this season. One rushing touchdown. NC State, not far behind. Just under 82 yards allowed per game on the ground. They are the number two rush defense in the ACC. They've allowed two rushing touchdowns this season. So it's going to come down to explosive plays and which quarterback can go out there and make them. You mentioned it. Leary just not great against high-level competition. He was 17 of 33 against ECU. He was 15 of 23, not too bad, but just 121 yards against Texas Tech. Now, on the season, he's 64%, 890 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks. But he threw a pick against ECU, threw a pick against UConn last week. So he just maybe not what a lot of folks anticipated as far as his game and how he's been and what he's been this year. But it's going to be a fun game no matter what. And we'll obviously dive into that. We'll feature that one in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow and spend a little bit of time on it with a couple different guests to be able to talk about it. You also have Washington at UCLA. A little bit weird that we're talking about both of these teams being undefeated right now, because I don't think a lot of people peg them to be that. But with that comes your nation's leading passer, Michael Penix Jr. That's right. Leads the nation in passing. And how about this, GMAC? Penix has not taken a sack this year. Will Levis has taken 15. Michael Penix Jr. has not taken one. 347 yards per game, 12 touchdowns, one pick, and he's over 64% on the season, having just a fantastic year for the Huskies.
Sound how like you feel about offensive it? Line.
They sound have like, given up two sacks, though.
Sound like the Joe
just
Moore
not to
war.
Him.
Joe
not
Moore
him.
Wars heading out west, ain't it? Joe Moore Wars heading out
it's
west,
early.
Ain't
it? It's early.
Oh, it's September. It's,
well, we'll find September. Out. We'll it's find out because Cole likes to get protection. Those airline miles. So he always seems to make sure there's a couple West teams out there so he can get a couple extra hits. on the Delta machine.
That's it.
You ain't fooling anybody. We need to check out Anchorage. Anchorage got a good team this year. They're mowing some folks over. We better check out Alaska Anchorage. Oh, Hawaii's got a good old line.
That's why LSU got it 19 instead of Oregon.
That's it.
You still wanted to go to Oregon, though. You voted for Oregon.
I don't vote.
He's such a liar. Cole voted last year for Oregon. That's why there's always a Pacific Northwest team in there. Oregon State.
Oregon State was in there. Yep. You loved it. Yeah.
I do like Oregon State.
So anyway, Penix Jr. has been great. His offensive line is actually playing pretty good. I like the right tackle a lot. He's tough. He gets after it, finishes. He's a physical player, and they play pretty good ball. But UCLA also sits in this spot as well, and a team that's, I guess being at the Rose Bowl, we don't have to worry about crowd noise based on what we've seen this year.
Nah.
That's not going to be a real thing. So, I don't know. I'm not real sure what to make of UCLA right now. We know you have experience at quarterback. I feel like you've been starting for 11 years.
Yeah. Dude, how about this, though? If you really look at it, UCLA's defensive line depth is insane. Like, insanely bad. They've had multiple season-ending injuries to their defensive line depth. They have, like, transfer from Harvard. Like, we're talking about absolutely nobody along the defensive line. And, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to get home against Penix, as we just discussed. But how about them holding up the rest of the way? I mean, if they are that razor thin across, I mean, they're having to rely on walk-ons and, you know, converted offensive players and stuff like that to just survive. I mean, how does it get that bad? I mean, that is crazy.
Well, good luck, because after Washington, you have Utah, Oregon, Stanford, and UCLA. USC still on the schedule a little bit later in the year for UCLA. So it is figure something out now.
Tough sledding. Because
you got a couple of teams whose groups. Oregon, I think, is the only team in college football that is not allowed a sack this year. You got that group coming in. You got to play Utah's offensive line. Now, Brant Cuthi not going to be there at tight end. He usually helps that group, but still, that's not going to get a lot easier after this Washington game for UCLA. But you talk about experience. I mean, Charbonnet's still in that backfield. DTR, obviously a quarterback, GMAC. We know the scheme is going to be fun, going to be cool. They haven't played a lot of great teams. Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, at Colorado last week. This is not a great football team.
You don't say.
This is just kind of, I'll kind of put this one where we put the Ole Miss-Kentucky game. I think we all feel a little bit more confident with Kentucky and Ole Miss, but we just don't know a lot about these teams right now.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about Washington. I feel pretty good about what Michael Penix Jr. is doing. I feel pretty good about the way that offense is playing.
I think Washington's pretty good. I agree with you. I think UCLA, if they were healthy, I'd feel really good about them in the spot like this, because I think they're physical, I think they're tough, and I think they have a little bit more big game experience, because Washington hasn't really played in a big game, it doesn't feel like, in quite a while. I mean, say what you want about UCLA, but at least they've had some games that were meaningful in the last couple of years. Washington, maybe not so much. So I wish I could tell you I felt good about UCLA's depth, and I just don't. Those do not just all of a sudden get fixed. If you got injury issues up front defensively, you got major
side
problems
of the ball up front. There's nowhere to hide it. I mean, you have D tackle problem, team's going to come right at you.
Washington has 15 sacks, including 8 last week against Stanford. So, granted, Stanford, but
getting after the quarterback either
coming
way.
Coming after you.
Brent in Adamsville wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Brent.
Appreciate it, man. I got a question for you and Greg. I know it's a little off topic, but I know you do a lot of film study on offensive line and stuff. I just wondered, have y'all ever considered, like, getting into coaching, like offensive line coach, and maybe Greg, quarterback coach, or, you know, offensive coordinator or something like that?
Yeah, Greg wants to be a special teams coordinator is where he would like to go. Listen, I've thought about it. I think we'll both always think about it. I don't mean to really speak for Greg, but I just, when you watch it as much as we do and you love it as much as we do, there's always going to be a part that says, man, I'd really like to help kids be better. I'd really like to teach and help kids learn. But the problem right now for me, and then I'll let GMAC follow up, is recruiting and the portal and NIL. and kids wiping their Instagram and
times
all
have
that.
Times have changed.
It's just it's a lot
the
right
old
now.
Instagram
it's not
wipe.
Just coaching anymore. You got to keep kids from wiping their Instagram, and that's
yeah.
Not
got time,
good.
Ain't got time for that.
I ain't got time for babysitting. I got a hard enough time with my two under four. The last thing I want to deal with is a bunch of spoiled, egotistical 17-year-olds.
Wow. He's painting the whole thing with it.
Telling me I'm not.
I understand.
At the place that we would go coach at, we'd be dealing with that because it wouldn't be – I mean, it's not like we're going to go coach at Podunk U, Cole.
That's right.
We're going to not deal with guys that just love ball, that just want to be better. We're going to be going to the higher-ups, and we're going to be dealing with some egos. It just is what it is. No,
Podunk's got everybody coming back.
Podunk's big. They're good on the trenches. Really pride themselves on doing the little things. I would go into coaching if it were a better lifestyle. But it's not. It's an awful lifestyle. And it requires a lot of sacrifice, not just for you, but also for your family. And I would never be willing to put my family into those situations. And look, I'm very appreciative of the coaching I received and always felt like high school coaching is probably the most rewarding because there isn't some type of transactional process. Like kids just want to be good. The kids just want to be coached and want to be taught. And high school coaching would be by far the most gratifying to me. I wouldn't have much interest, but granted there's recruiting in high school coaching now too. So that's kind of an unfortunate, whether you want to admit it or not.
Depends on the classification. Not in 1A.
Well, I appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks, appreciate the call, man. Bob Newton's my high school football coach is like a second father to me. So somebody just means a lot. And I agree with you there. Just what high school coaches mean, what they can do and the influence that they have on you, regardless of which high schools are recruiting kids and bringing kids in from other places. So, all right, when we come back, I'm going to continue the college football conversation, look at some more of the undefeated teams and some more games coming up this weekend, update you on some games that are moving around as well because of Hurricane Ian. Next, right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning. 9:47, Wednesday, September 28th, right here on Jocks 94.5.
Yeah, you need to go and you need to download Stat Hero right now because if you want to play fantasy, you need to actually have a chance because when you look at some of these daily fantasy sites, man, you don't have a chance. I mean, these guys are pros. They have all these different mechanisms to optimize lineups and all this nonsense. It's impossible. I mean, how about winning 2 to 4 times? It's more likely at Stat Hero. That's why that's the only daily fantasy I would play. It's winnable, it's easy, and it's fun. It's also like nothing else out there right now. So don't waste your time betting on outrageous spreads. Stat Hero is a game of skill focusing on the players. Pick the players that you think will perform the best, and you go up against the house. They have their lineup. You go against them, you either win or you lose. It's not some ridiculous, you got to score a billion points to be able to remain competitive. Download and play with me if you use offer code JOCKS, J-O-X, JOCKS, J-O-X. If you use that offer code, you're going to get 100% deposit match. So download now and play with me today at stathero.com/JOCKS, J-O-X.
All right, here's the latest we have from a scheduling perspective with some changes because of Hurricane Ian, a Category 4. Looks like set to become a Category 5 here shortly. 155 mile per hour sustained winds needs to be 157 to reach that mark of being a Category 5. All right, so SMU at UCF is going to move to Sunday. That'll be at noon on ESPN, or one of the ESPN network of channels. I don't think I've seen exactly where that thing's going to land just yet. South Carolina State at South Carolina, that game is going to be on Thursday night. You'll catch that one on the SEC Network, and that'll be a 6 p.m. kick. ECU was supposed to be at USF. That game is going to go from Tampa to FAU Stadium. It'll still kick at 1:30 on Saturday on ESPN+. Then you have Eastern Washington at Florida. Is going to go to Sunday, October the 2nd. That'll kick at 11 a.m. on ESPN+ at well. So you got two games on Sunday, Eastern Washington at Florida, 11 a.m. on E+, SMU at UCF, TV to be announced soon. You have a game going to Thursday, That's South Carolina at South Carolina State, 6 p.m. on the SEC Network. And two other games are going to move back or move locations on Saturday. ECU at USF is going to go to FAU Stadium, 1:30 South, and that one will switch it up as well. So, all right, there you go. Some Hurricane Ian. And you keep in mind, there's games at JMU, at Maryland, at UNC, at Florida State, at Coastal, at Old Dominion, Clemson, Duke. Those all could potentially be in the path once that thing heads up the East Coast. We'll see if it diverts and what games are going to be affected. Keep you up to date on some scheduling changes if they were to come a little bit later. So we mentioned undefeated teams are going to be facing off against one another this weekend. We talked Kentucky, we talked Ole Miss, we talked NC State and Clemson. We talked Washington and UCLA. That one's going to be in the Rose Bowl. I don't think that they've had more than 10,000 fans at a game just yet. See if that changes for a conference opponent coming down. I don't really anticipate would.
Hate.
Just also real. Real.
Facts.
Hate
there.
Hate so real.
You said 10,000. I only think it's been 5,000.
Five? Haven't had five?
I don't think so.
Okay. Too hot.
All right. So
too hot out there in the Dina.
Yeah, you can't risk, you know, sweating when you go to a football game.
Yeah.
Nobody would want to have to deal with that.
The audacity. Well,
maybe you ought to call Train.
We've already done that read today, but
yeah, 803.
Double up for my friend Bissell.
Yeah. We obviously partnered with us here at Chalk. You find a comfort specialist at train.com. It's hard to find a train. I'll just give him that.
The one's for Jeff. Freebie.
All right, the SEC Offensive Player of the Week was Hendon Hooker.
Yes, sir.
Defensive Player of the Week, Antonio Johnson, Will Anderson. They split that. Freshman of the Week, Barry Brown, wide receiver at Kentucky. That's a part of that Kentucky team, Greg, we didn't really get into today that we probably should spend some time on tomorrow, is just how dynamic they've become so quickly at wide receiver. We know what Wandale Robinson was last year, but now all of a sudden they're problematic in multiple spots.
Yeah.
And you know, we knew that you were sitting there, okay, how are you going to replace Wandale Robinson? You bring in Tavian Robinson, and thought he could be some of that, but he's been a little bit more than I anticipated, especially in some of the intermediate stuff. Then you get freshman Dane Key, who's got 15 grabs as well, along with Barry Brown. Like, they're all of a sudden not just one go-to guy. I mean, they have three legit targets at wide receiver, and that's the difference in this team because they're obviously not getting it done on the ground.
Yeah, I think Barry Brown's really good, man. I mean, if you can, like we've talked about a couple times, if you got two receivers that are legit, that's so big. That is so big for everything that you want to try to get accomplished, man, because you can't tilt coverage. Now, if you can't tilt coverage, man, that's like a massive, massive deal to me. So that's one area where I really love how they've gone about the growth and development. I know that's a young guy. So Barry Brown now being a guy and then going and getting a Wandale clone in Tavion. Now you have two guys. One can be in the slot. One can be the outside. Both can be the outside. Like, you can move those guys around, and the defense can't double. You can't double those guys.
Right.
So if you can get two guys that are reliable enough, you're in great shape on the offensive side. And right now, clearly that's what they got going a little bit with those two guys operating.
It's going to be a fun game for a lot of different reasons. You know, we've talked about that Ole Miss rushing attack and just how unique it is, how cool it is. This will be a different group of linebackers that they're going to face up against. Defensive line's solid, but the linebackers are where Kentucky's defense becomes very different, and they can align them in different places. It can allow them to be heavier at the line of scrimmage or off the ball. I mean, that to me is the key for Brad White is, you know, how heavy light does he actually intend to play this game? Because Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, they're going to give you different personnel groupings that want to force you to play them a certain way and then essentially try to run the ball. If you are light, play heavier, they're going to try to spread you out, use backs in motion, use them out of the backfield, and then obviously try to push the ball around on the perimeter down the field. So what do you believe Brad White, Kentucky defensive coordinator, comes into this game thinking he can take away?
First of all, there's no one right now on the outside that's really scaring me. You know, and that's a big difference.
For Ole Miss, you mean?
Yeah.
Not even Mingo?
No. Like, I like my matchup if I'm Brad White with my corners against Mingo. Like, okay. I think Mingo's a good player, no doubt. But I am far more concerned about the run game than I am concerned about the pass game. And that is a huge difference for Ole Miss this year. Like, the pass game is still, not bad, not great, not bad.
It's been elite.
But it's been a real headache.
Yeah.
So now I know I can kind of sell it against the run. If Mingo starts getting off, then I'll adjust. But no, there's not really anyone that scares me on the back end. So I would be all about having a late rotation, one direction to the other, trying to guess right and see if I can't get an extra hat in the counter game. But man, it would be all about trying to create advantages in the run game. And I think they can probably do that.
All right, we're going to preview Clemson, NC State in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. We'll spend a lot of time on Alabama, Arkansas. We'll spend a lot of time on that Kentucky Ole Miss game. Preview Auburn, LSU as well. 7 to 10, 3-man front comes up next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.